You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Sully?
It's great. What? You Sully?
Are you Sully? I love you, Sully.
Am I in New York?
Yeah, oh, man. That's the one thing about this movie. Like, they have the most obnoxious New York accents. Like, the bartenders.
What, you mean, like, people
it
from
is
New
so
York?
Thick. No. I have a New York quotation marks accent.
You have a Buffalo accent.
I have a Buffalonian accent, which is slightly nasally.
Buffalonian?
A little Buffalonian accent. Slightly more nasally than New York accent.
Yeah.
But here, it was too obnoxious.
But it was totally realistic, too. You're just like, oh, those fuckers over Manhattan can kiss my ass.
I'll say this. It's better than the Boston accent, which is basically a New York accent, except if the Bostonian was hit over the head several times.
Yeah,
their accent.
Yeah,
that's the Marky Mark. Oh, my God. everything's a surprise. Yeah. It's a new discovery.
Yeah, Boston accent is to the New York accent as weaponized crystal meth is to regular crystal meth.
Yes, very true. Batman R.I.P. reference.
Anyway, yeah, this I mean, nothing, I can't believe I referenced Batman R.I.P. for a review of Clint Eastwood's Sully.
Oh, yeah.
Sully! You know, what a shocker that they took a story about, like, this guy who's inarguably a real American hero.
Yes, absolutely.
Who was inarguably a super sweet, nice guy, mm-hmm. who was concerned about everyone else more than himself, mm-hmm. and they said, what do you think, Tom Hanks?
That's so out of left field.
Yeah, it's, like, really the most obvious.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, he is so charming. It's just, like, even at the movie, isn't that great? You're still like, it's Tom Hanks.
It's Tom Hanks. Yeah, the movie. Yeah. Even when the movie is bad, you're still like, it was Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
He's like everybody's uncle that we love. Mm-hmm. Like,
but not the one that, you know,
not the
rapes you.
Molest
you. Yeah, that one.
No, not the Philadelphia uncle.
Yes, oh. Oh, yes.
What?
This is based on the true story of Captain Chelsea Sully Sullenberger and his first officer, Jeffrey Skiles. I don't know why they bothered to give him the middle. And Jeff.
Jeff.
Yeah,
it's so
Jeffrey.
Different.
No one's calling him Bree.
I understand why, you know, Sully doesn't want to be called Chelsea. I get that. I mean, that's cruel that he was named that, but Jeffrey, it's the same fucking
name. It's no reason to give a quotation mark nickname in the middle. I think it's just like, well, he's got to have three names like Sully does in here.
Yes.
It doesn't work.
Ugh.
Anyway, Aaron Eckhart plays that role. Tom Hanks, as previously mentioned, plays the Solster. The Sullenator. Soul Sorcerer X.
Yeah, you're coming up with some great nicknames.
Well, they definitely got around to having to say those names too much because most of the scenes in this movie, they had name tags in front of them.
They did.
In case we all forgot because, we do forget. We're audience.
Although I don't think that was really for our benefit so much as the fact that they all worked on an airline.
Well, that might be it.
It might be connected. Mm-hmm. But, they apparently, U.S. Airways Flight 1549 in 2009 took off 3 minutes in. Both engines got burned out by a flight of geese flying into the engines.
Fucking suck.
They were stuck with neither engine working and it too far to make it to either one of the nearby airports, so he had to force a water landing, which generally, despite the name water landing, usually means airplane crashes into the ocean, everyone dies.
And you think, like, that's the thing, like, I always thought, like, water landing to be, that makes sense, the water,
it's like you got pontoons
soft.
On the boat, tailspin character.
It's almost impossible to move.
Yes, I never knew that. But,
it's really, really, unless you have a boat that's, a plane that's mm-hmm. just designed
a biplane
specifically,
then,
it's next to impossible. And he pulled it off with aplomb, and everyone lived. Hey, everybody lives.
Mm-hmm. Some people weren't happy about it.
The government was like, well, we've got these insurance companies breathing down our neck, mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. we got to find out if maybe you're not as heroic as the story seems.
Yeah, well, they start running their simulations, and they start saying, you could have gotten to the airport if you had not been, have you been drinking, Mr. Sullenberger? And they make all these insinuations about what he's been doing, apparently, and basically testing his, you know.
Yeah. Have you ever molested a niece or nephew? No, that's my brother, Randy Quinn.
Oh, sorry. Yes. But I guess, not to get too serious, but So when this story happened in 2009, this was...
I don't remember it at all.
Yeah, no, I do remember it because it was big. Again, from the great...
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But from the great state of New York, as someone who was from that state.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this was huge. And as they point out in the film, you know...
The reverse 9/11, I believe, is what they called it.
Did they actually call it that?
No. Just lots of references to 9/11 sucked, but this is awesome.
No, exactly. And that point...
It's like we just turned it around like it never happened.
We're all heroes again.
It makes me feel like, because this whole movie, Sully's kind of saying, I'm not a hero. No, no, it was everybody else, everything. And I keep thinking of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, where the main character does something heroic, and Zaphod's like, yeah, it's pretty good, man. That was amazing. Yeah. He's like, yeah, it was nothing. He's like, oh, was it? Okay, well, don't worry about it then. He's like, well, it was kind of amazing. No, it wasn't. You said it wasn't. It's like, see, Sully would have been very disappointed if everyone when it turned around and just gone. Seriously, just shut up.
You know, Aaron Eckhart.
Now there's just no 9/11. You're not a hero.
No.
So.
Wow.
I was going to say, there was actually scenes in this movie where Aaron Eckhart was carrying around a towel with him.
Oh, it's the Great Hitchhiker's Conspiracy.
Yeah.
Oh, because it's been a while since I saw
Yeah.
Hitchhikers.
So. Do you like feel like in? It wouldn't been hard at all for this film to be really dull, because ultimately it's stretching out this one event, like 2.5 days of stuff, and re-showing it multiple times at length. Mm-hmm. And yet somehow, I was kind of with it the whole way.
Yeah,
it was like really like, okay. And I think a lot of that has to do with, A, really well-filmed sequences of the airplane on the whole 208 seconds mm-hmm. of the plane crashing, of the sort of everyone getting out after, even though you know everyone makes it. You're still mm-hmm. kind of find your fist a little kind of clenched up.
Sure.
Maybe it's just because we've seen so many airplane crashes in movies, we're still like, nah, man, this is the time where we slip into that Berenstain Bears parallel universe and everybody doesn't make it.
Well, but they fucking do that in this film. That's one of my biggest complaints in the movie, where they have these weird nightmare dream sequences where Sully, like the opening shot of the movie. Maybe I shouldn't say anything. But it's the first shot of the movie. Okay, yeah, spoiler, you know. But they show him crashing the plane into a building
like
in New York.
Spectacularly.
Yeah, it's like, whoa. And then it's like,
Roland Emmerich was like, give me 5 minutes.
But it's a dream sequence. And we see several of these throughout the film, and some which are laugh out loud
but
funny.
I found them continuous in the story. They made sense in the context of the story, which the story is Sully. Like, it's all through his point of view and the fact that, like, even though he knows he did everything right and that he could have, mm-hmm. he's tortured by the fact, what if he's wrong? Mm-hmm. What if he fucked something up? What if there was another way? Or what if this had gone another way?
No.
So well, these crash sequences make sense contextually. That's mm-hmm. why they didn't bother.
Well, and something that this movie did right is he never gets to celebrate, be the hero, because every time somebody's like, oh, you did such a great job, can you believe it? Then he's got these other guys breathing down his neck who are like, just give us a minute, and we're going to point out how bad you screwed everybody.
Yeah.
How you're just, you know, at fault for all of this.
And it's anybody who's ever been accused of something they didn't do and knows they didn't do it, no matter what age you were when it happened, you know, you're still thinking back to elementary school. I did not steal the red crowns.
Yeah, you did.
Put them right up my ass.
You know what?
There,
what?
Walk out of there. No one the wiser.
I mean, I stole stuff and squatted to get
30 red crowns at home. Is all I'm saying.
Wow.
That you don't want to use. Mm. Yeah.
That is so
your uncle
so interesting.
Yeah,
God.
What were you saying, Kyle?
Yeah. Oh, no. It just seemed like something your uncle Tom Hanks would teach you.
Yeah. No, like I said, it's Randy Quaid. I don't know if people always mix those two up. Tom Hanks is the great one. He's throwing
Where's the Randy Quaid? Why are you mixing them up?
He's the other guy who seems like he was your uncle, except he was the guy who seems like he's your
uncle. Oh, Eddie. He's not Uncle Eddie.
Yeah, not the good uncle.
Got it. Okay, I understand.
Sully gets nothing except maybe a free drink from Michael Rapaport making a weird uncredited cameo as a bartender, which is all he can do now.
Yeah, I did kind of jump out of the movie for a second when I saw him. I was like, tell some jokes.
But I mean, like, Tom Hanks is the reason this movie works more than it doesn't. I think, I mean, he's very much, I mean, like, this is typecasting, if there ever was typecasting in some ways. He's almost too easy for him to play this role.
Yeah,
and yet he's still so really good at these type of parts. He's playing this guy who's just almost ridiculously a good guy, but who still is self-tortured that maybe he could be even better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
or maybe
true.
He wasn't as good as he thinks he is.
Oh,
it works. It sells.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that. The only thing is, I've learned that never travel with Tom Hanks.
Yeah, no.
Because in any profession, whether he's an astronaut, whether he's a boat captain,
yeah,
or you know,
even a FedEx person.
Even if you're trying to make a connecting flight and you're not from America, maybe you don't. Maybe your country goes stops.
I get a little nervous.
I love how this movie clearly illustrated how easily people turn on you on airplanes. Like a little bit of turbulence, they're totally pissed off. You crash a plane, they love you. It's like Stockholm syndrome. It's like, you saved my life. It's like you're sitting in knee deep in ice cold water.
Yeah, that's always the same thing of people going, oh, what a miracle that these people survived. Not so much that the bad thing happened to me.
You know, one of the things I also want to bring up is, like, I wonder, like, what the actual passengers who see this film, what they think, what the reaction is, and some of the not so intelligent passengers that we kind of see in the movie, where it's like, I'm going to jump into the ice cold water, which, you know, you're exiting a plane, you're on the water, that makes sense. Sure. I'm going to swim to the shore. And as someone who has been in the Hudson, it's fucking cold.
It's freezing.
Especially in winter.
Yeah, I think this was January.
Yeah,
right?
You would be dead.
Well, you know, Clint Eastwood is sitting on set going, shh, Alcatraz, guys, it can be done. If I haven't proved that yet.
That's in California.
Summer. But ice cold water.
If anybody is a member of those, like, that Polar Bears Club, you know, the elderly dudes, like, jump in the ice cold water.
Oh,
you know it's Clint Eastwood. He'll be like, hey, you fucking pussy kids, come on in. The water's great.
That's a national pastime in Buffalo, New York. The polar bear plunge.
Yes.
We'd all do it.
Have you tried my hot tub yet? Polar bear plunge.
No. Wait, what? I don't like what you're insinuating right now.
What am I insinuating?
Hey. What? Hey.
What's the problem? What do you say?
All right.
You New York guys are so pushy.
This guy. Am I a clown to you? How am I funny? Am I a clown to you right now?
I think it's self-explanatory how you're a fucking clown. Sit the fuck down.
This guy. I'm just fucking with you, man.
Dude, it's audio. You guys don't need those props. Like, take those noses off.
I inhabited the body of Joe Pesci for
a What size shoe is that?
Get your fucking shine box.
Aw, he's dead now.
Wah, wah. Shinebox.
Yeah, Shinebox
guy is dead.
R.I.P. Shinebox.
As the guy from Get Short is like, they say the motherfucking pollution is the motherfucking reason the sunsets are so motherfucking beautiful.
Fuck, sounds like poetry.
All right, back to Sully. Let's just go to final thoughts. We kind of really established the things that, like, what happens in this film.
Yeah.
Honestly, not a lot actually happens. It's really kind of about, like, it's about Tom Hanks' performance, and it's about how tense the filmmaking is during the crash sequences. And that, to me, was enough to carry this relatively short film. I was worried because, oh, fuck, it's a Clint Eastwood film. It's going to be like 2.5 hours, and it's an hour and a half. And it goes by quick. Keeps me in there for it. There's a couple slow moments here and there, but overall, I really enjoyed this a lot. I don't think it's quite, you know, big enough or pertinent enough in the feeling of a film to be like Best Picture type of stuff, although it'll probably get on the 10 list because there weren't a lot of nominations. There's not a lot of films this year I would throw into that top 10.
Yeah, so far.
Not to mention everybody on this movie, they know the people who make the lists.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I still really did enjoy this. I give it 8 out of 10 mustaches that could only belong in airline pilots or porn stars.
I was going to do mustaches for my Ray. I should have picked something less obvious. the film is very workmanlike. I mean, Tom Hanks gives a great performance. Of course, we expect that from him. I don't think there's a film where he's ever given a bad performance. Maybe Lady Killers, but even then, it's like, you know, whatever. The thing that I did like about it was, like, how it showed the same sequence, but then it showed it from a different perspective. One's from the pilots, the passengers, the flight attendants, the people on the ground, like the police and everyone else, like going to the location. I thought that was cool. But the rest of the film and everything in between, it just like when we cut to his wife and the kids who don't have any lines in the movie or just show up there. I found that kind of like, okay, we've seen this in other films before, even though it's true, or, you know, it's true as, you know, whatever.
True-ish.
True-ish, exactly. That's a nice word. For me, I there were times where I felt it was really dragging. Even though I think this is, 90 minutes long? It's a short film.
Yeah, it's 96 minutes.
96 minutes. And even then, I started to feel its length. And then the movie, towards the end, it has like a couple of nice moments. Again, you know, Tom Hanks showing, like, I'm a fucking actor. But
you know you love me.
Yeah, but then it ends, like, in a really awkward moment. Like, oh, it's over. And that's like, oh, okay, I don't know. It's just... I expect, I don't know what I expect from Clint Eastwood nowadays. You know, sometimes he makes a film that I love, and other days it's like, well, maybe that one. No, he's one of those guys who will live forever. You know, I don't, he has all that hatred.
Yeah. I think that's in his contract, too. He gets to keep making movies as long as he's alive. Yeah. Which means Zombie Eastwood doesn't have a deal yet.
Oh, my God. I want a remake of Unforgiven, or at least, what's the film when he's dead? Like, he plays a dead cowboy in it. Like he might be High Plains Drifter.
High Plains Drifter.
Yeah, I mean, because he might be dead in that film. That'd be great to see a sequel to that where he's a zombie Clint Eastwood.
They've talked about it.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'd be all in it for that. But until that film. Yeah, for me, this was, it was okay. It's serviceable. Really, it kind of felt, a lot of times, like a TV film. So, with the exceptions of the plane crash sequences. So I'd probably give it 6 out of 10 black boxes.
Kyle?
It's funny that you say it kind of felt like a TV film, because this, I think, is going to be a movie that you're going to enjoy a lot if you watch it on TV. Whether it comes to, like, one of the, you know, HBOs or Showtimes, or if it's just, like, you know, you wait for it to, you know, TNT. Family's picking around. Choose this one. Kids, grandparents, I think everybody's going to be able to get around and kind of feel good at the end.
True.
And then everything that everybody's saying about the time too, you know, when you put it on TV, they cut here and there to make it fit for commercials. So who knows? It might be a better, at least family experience.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's probably going to be mentioned for when all the awards come around. They're probably going to mention it a million times, but I think that's just because of all the people that are involved in this movie. I don't know if it's necessarily their best work. Mm-hmm. Although I did really like Aaron Eckhart, because, you know, one thing about this movie, it's just a lot of everyday, you know, boring hubbubaloo, but they make it really interesting. And, you know, Aaron Eckhart's essentially the guy who's playing second fiddle, and he has to stand there and react. And, but I mean, he didn't try to overpower it. It wasn't, you know, it was a really good supporting performance. Nobody will ever recognize it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do 7 out of 10 birds who don't know how to fly. Like,
not
just
at all.
Just going to, we're flying here, birds. Like, come on.
It's like, hey, we were here first.
It's like when a deer jumps out in front of your car, but like the airplane version of it.
Yeah. Fucking deer.
It's kind of funny. Aaron Eckhart, I agree. I kept thinking it was like his whole job was to look concerned and then go to sell and go, dude, I'll totally suck your dick. You were great. I mean, you were so awesome. Seriously, you want, drop him. Just drop him.
Aaron Eckhart, will you be my best friend?
I think it's Aaron Eckhart, you know, looking at Tom Hanks. I will suck your dick.
You see this mustache?
You know what that's good for.
I will suck your dick.